Before we dive into the scripture, so this will be Advent 2, and we're focusing on peace. And before we go any further, I just wanted to say just a quick word of thanks to the church, the generous people of this church. I didn't get a chance to do this yet, but I want to say it real quick while it was on my mind and heart today. Throughout the month of October and even November, my family and I received gifts and cards and blessings, some that were signed and some that were anonymous, that were just kind of dropped off, as this church is accustomed to do, very low-key. You didn't make it a big deal, but you tremendously blessed our family with gift cards and gifts and words of encouragement throughout October and even into November, as I said, kind of as a pastor appreciation. So I'm grateful for that. And I thank you that you didn't make it a big deal and that you didn't bring me up front. I appreciate that. So, yes. But you're a blessing, so thank you for that. As we get into God's Word, we're going to turn first to, so we have two different passages, one from Isaiah 9, which will be coming up first. So you can open up to Isaiah 9, mainly looking at verses 6 and 7, and then we'll jump over to John 16, 33. So would you also pray once again for our time in the Word? Help me pray today. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have loved us. Your word says that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that we can know you, that we can love you and serve you and have eternal life. And also we know this from your word, that eternal life is not just some place in heaven, but it begins here and now with our relationship with you. Eternal life is to know you and the Lord Jesus whom you've sent. We praise you, O Father. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your life, your sacrifice. Thank you that you willingly came to this earth to seek out your people, your brothers, your sisters, your church, your people, your bride, your family, as all these terms just hint at how deeply you love us and are united to us. O Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would give us a sense of the peace of Christ, that as we communicate your word or we attempt to communicate your word, that you would just anoint me for this task. Lord, I pray that I can decrease so that Christ may increase and that your word would come forward and that we might have an encounter with the true and living God today through your word by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Peace. Peace. So we talked last week about hope, the hope that Christ brings, the birth, looking at the nativity, focusing on the theme of hope. And as we saw in the scriptures as just a glimpse or a snapshot at the hope of the prophets, that they would sort of herald a king that is to come, a redeemer that is to come, and this hope would be, in fact, the hope of glory, Christ in us. So this is the great hope that we have, and we continue marching through the themes of Advent as we land on peace today. And perhaps there is no greater proclamation of Christmas that is as beloved as that from the angels to the shepherds in the field. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2, 14. Every time I hear that verse, I don't know about you, we read it recently in youth group as well, and I can just hear Linus reading this. It's just the voice of Linus is in my head as I read that portion. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So when we talk about the characteristic of Christmas, or the characteristic of maybe not only Christmas, but throughout the year, and what it means to follow Christ, we would be amiss if we skip over this term of peace and this theme and idea of peace. Peace. And I'm reminded today, as Rachel mentioned a moment ago, the hectic pace of this season, and often even the hectic pace of not only the Christmas season, but every Sunday morning, it seems, as we are trying to do last-minute preparations and get service ready. And when our kids were little, we were always trying to kind of rush out the door, and we were getting four little ones ready, and it was always just a lot. It seemed to be a lot. But we always need peace in our life, and I want to give you an example that I think illustrates where we want to go with the text today. So yeah, if you could, there's a picture here. This picture is a memorial in Belgium, a memorial that will commemorate the Christmas truce. Maybe you've heard about this, maybe you haven't, but a remarkable story from World War I, 1914. Christmas truce in the small town in Belgium, a memorial there, and there's another one like it in Liverpool, England. A memorial commemorates when two opposing armies came together, not to fight, but to extend Christmas goodwill under an unofficial truce. It was Christmas 1914 on the Western Front and 5 months into the Great War, also known as World War I. So you can show the second picture you got. There's another picture that depicts this scene where these armies kind of dropped their weapons and for a brief moment enjoyed Christmas together. Initially, the truce was to give each side time to recover and bury their dead from what was called No Man's Land, which was the area between the two trenches. On Christmas Eve, in some sections, German soldiers set up Christmas trees, lit candles, and began singing Christmas carols. In the British positions, sometimes only 30 or 40 meters away, they begin singing Christmas carols in reply. So these Christmas carols were going back and forth from the opposing trenches. Each side would even applaud the other side. So think of this, it's pretty amazing. On Christmas Day, the tentative steps were made to come out from the safety of their trenches, to meet each other in the middle. Here they exchanged greetings, in some cases gifts, gifts like tobacco and pins and buttons and souvenirs. They would exchange gifts. In other cases, later in the day, even a football match was arranged. So you had enemies playing football together. Later that Christmas night, they returned to their trenches to continue the war. Amazing. The truce did not happen everywhere, as officers on both sides felt that any truce would undermine the men's fighting spirit. So unfortunately, there were casualties on Christmas Day. Today we can only look back at this moment in time when goodwill and peace to all men gave a short respite or rest from the horrors that were part of the Great War. Just a glimpse, a window into peace amidst all the chaos. Over 100,000 soldiers, as it were, participated in what would go down in history as one of the most peculiar and spontaneous moments in war. Now, let me illustrate this further. One 19-year-old soldier from London writes this to his mother, sends a letter home about smoking German tobacco as a result of a gift from a German soldier. He says this, "But wait, in the pipe is German tobacco." "Ha," you say, "from a prisoner or found in a captured trench?" "Oh dear, no, from a German soldier." Yes, a live German soldier from his own trench. Yesterday, the British and Germans met and shook hands in the ground between the trenches and exchanged souvenirs. Yes, all day, Christmas Day. And as I write, marvelous, isn't it? I mean, this is a remarkable story. And another soldier from Scotland, his name is Alfred Anderson, in a later interview, the last known survivor, in fact, in 2003, recounts this story after being sort of billeted by gunfire from the Germans and hemmed up into a barn in a field. He writes this, "I remember the silence, the eerie sound of silence. Only the guards were on duty. We all went outside the farm buildings and just stood listening and, of course, thinking of people back home. And I'd heard for 2 months in the trenches, nothing, all I'd heard was hissing, cracking, and the whining of bullets in flight, machine gun fire, and distant German voices. But there was a dead silence that morning right across the land, as far as you could see. We shouted, 'Merry Christmas,' even though nobody felt merry. The silence ended early in the afternoon, and the killing started again. It was a short peace in a terrible war." Now, this is a remarkable story. It's sort of an anomaly that on Christmas Day, or even the night before, you had what was this unofficial truce. This kind of thing was sparked and started by Christmas carols and no doubt weariness from the soldiers as they needed to just rest from the fighting and collect the dead bodies of their friends and their comrades and bury them. But here's this unique scene. But it really highlights, it illustrates this topic today of peace. That what Christ brings in his birth and in his first coming to the world is this announcement from the angels, peace and goodwill toward all men, all people, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your background, whatever your past, whatever your sins, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, Christ is for all people. And there is this remarkable peace that begins to sort of find its way into the darkness of that night, into the darkness of our world. And here Christ speaks peace to a broken and chaotic world. And here we have in a war this sort of window into peace, this glimpse into peace that was otherwise a violent, vicious, and horrible time. That was a temporary peace, but there is coming a day, dear church. Again, I will remind you not only of his first coming, but the coming of Jesus Christ that will bring peace once and for all eternity, for all of God's people, where the war will really actually be ended. So there's this incredible proclamation in Isaiah, and you don't have to turn here, just kind of hold your place there at Isaiah 9, but Isaiah 2, verse 4 says this: He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. Of course, speaking of the coming Messiah. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The promise of peace, the promise of a break in the fighting, not a temporary one, but a actual solution, an answer, a healing, promise of renewal and peace. Here is what the birth of Christ actually embodies. That the war can be ended and that we can actually find real peace. It's a very poetic thing, right? We read here in Isaiah 2, it says that when he comes, nations will no longer have to dispute with one another. In fact, it goes on to describe this scene that people will beat their swords into plowshares. That a weapon of war will be then turned and fashioned into a weapon of harvest. A weapon of a positive thing. A weapon of productivity. So they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, in a very poetic way, the promise is this. Is that trauma will be turned into renewal and restoration. That the memory of war will begin to fade. And only peace will prevail. This happens quite literally in the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to remember that the kingdom of God is here. It is among us right now. That you are people in the kingdom of God. You're not awaiting the kingdom. It is here. It is now. Christ is here in his people through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're gathered in the name of Jesus Christ today. He's died on the cross. It is finished. You are his sons. You are his daughters. You are his bride, as I said earlier. But the kingdom of God is still coming. He has broken into our world. The light has dawned. The beginning of peace is here, but it will be fully unveiled and fully revealed at his second coming. So Christmas always connected to, yes, the cross of Christ, and yes, the second coming of Christ. Now let's turn to Isaiah 9. And here we're going to see this. If you're taking notes, two simple points for us today. First, from Isaiah 9, we have the foundation of peace. Jesus is our peace. Secondly, from John 16, 33, we have the application of peace. So look at Isaiah 9, Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse, I'm going to read a little bit of this to back up, and we may not have this, just leave that up on the screen. I'm going to back up just a little bit for context here. Isaiah 9, verse 2, verses 2 through 5 speak of the prophecy and gives this note that there is an end to the war. That there is an end to the chaos. Verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Verse 4, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for the burning, will be fuel for the fire. Picture this. the coming of Christ into the world, starting at his birth, his incarnation, that will continue to his coming and in his people that are redeemed. It is this great scene where the war is ended and they just have a bonfire. And the fuel for the fire are the weapons of war and every war boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood, that it will all be heaped up and thrown into the fire. That there is this coming peace that it's hinting at, that we're getting a glimpse of here. It even says things like, the darkness is ending and the light has dawned. Dear church, this is exciting. You know, this is stuff we can amen to and praise the Lord to. Now, you know me by now that I come from a tradition that they didn't leave the preacher to stand up here and preach alone, right? That you can amen and you can say, yes, pastor, I'm hearing you, and that's okay with me. Because this text evokes some of that. You can't merely just read over this with some glim look on your face. This has to be passionate and exciting. The light of Christ has dawned in the world. Behold, a new day is here. Yes, we will face trial and struggle and trouble and all kinds of things, but Christ is among us. And we can hear, almost hear, the footsteps of heaven's army that will one day split the sky and come and get the redeemed bride of Christ. We might still be at war, but listen to me here. Get ready to take those war boots off and those war clothes off. We won't have to train for war anymore. The promise of Christ, the peace of Christ has invaded, has pierced the darkness. It has begun. The reversal of the curse is happening right now in the hearts of all of God's people. I mean, this is an exciting thing. Now, look at verse 6 and 7, our main text here. This is where, you know, the phrase we used a lot was this will preach. I mean, I could just read this text and get out of the way, and you have a great message here. These verses, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is what we just read about, the end of war, the peace that will happen, is now embodied in a child. This is several hundred years before Jesus would walk the earth, but here we get the echo of the prophets once again. There is coming a day when a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, amen, Pastor. Praise God. He will be called, it says, a son is given, the Son of God given for us. The government will be on his shoulders. No longer will we have to worry about a Biden or a Trump or a this or a that. Christ is king. And all these other parties and all these other bureaucracies and all this other stuff just fades away. This is a beautiful thing. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Do you need counseling? Do you need healing? Do you need to find a safe place where you can let all the hurt out? I'm here today, dear church, to tell you, you have a wonderful counselor in Jesus. One who will not only allow you to vent and hear you out and give you a listening ear, but one that goes beyond just hearing you, answering you, responding to you, aiding you, helping you. This is the promise of Jesus. The embodiment of who he is. He will be called Mighty God. Yes, this baby born in a manger called every star by name. The Creator is laying in a manger. I mean, it's incredible. This is, in fact, the very real, true, and living Mighty God. He is called Everlasting Father. He is the Father, like Abraham, but better. He is the Father of a new covenant. He is the Father of the covenant of peace, of grace. He is the Father of love. He is a new and better Abraham. He is the Prince of Peace, the one that speaks peace into our chaos, the one that brings peace to our life, not only to our daily life, and we'll speak about this more, but he is the very foundation of our peace. Romans 5:1 says it this way. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peace of God on your behalf. Now, not so much that God is at war with the sinner, but the sinner is at war with God. And the only way to end that war and separation and breakdown and divide is the cross of Jesus Christ. He is the peace that is given from the Father. The warfare is ended. Your sins are paid for. You no longer have to go to a priest or a pope or a mere man. You can come directly to God through Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven and saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. No other works. You don't have to perform or be holy enough. I mean, this is why some theologians call this a scandal. This is a scandal of grace. It's too good. I'm speaking about it and I'm losing words. I don't know how to describe the glory and the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. You have to taste it. You have to experience it. You have to know Him for yourself. He is, in fact, your very foundation of peace, the very foundation upon which you have a relationship with God. He is the gateway to glory, the gateway to heaven. He is the Prince of Peace for you in every way. Verse 7 says, speaking of this kingdom and this peace, of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. Unlike the Christmas truce, there was an end to that peace. It was short-lived. The fighting quickly carried on. They would have to continue to bury their dead, but the peace of Christ will never end. Amen. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In other words, God will do it without the assistance of anyone. The strong arm of God will accomplish this work. He will give you a new heart, a right spirit. He will take away your sins. He will break the yoke of your oppressor. He will bring deliverance and peace and joy to you. You can't give it to yourself. There's no way you can get it, but God Himself will accomplish this. He will come into His own world. He will robe Himself in human flesh, and He will break into the darkness to bring light everywhere He goes. The power and glory of God will accomplish this. They just sang the song earlier, my favorite Christmas carol of all time, written by Charles Wesley, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's what that song is getting at. It's getting at a theological truth here about the peace we have with God in Christ. That you can now approach Him, come to Him, befriend Him, walk with Him, love Him. You are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. This is amazing news. Not only is He the foundation of our peace, the bedrock of our peace, the foundation that we build our lives upon, the very entrance and acceptance into the kingdom of God is in Christ, but He is also our daily peace, the application of our peace. Look at John 16:33. A short and simple verse. Let me read... Let me go back to give some context here. 31, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, His followers, about their eventual scattering and leaving Him. Amidst His arrest and ultimately His crucifixion, He says this, verse 31, "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming," verse 32, "and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me," Jesus says. This is remarkable because this lets us know first that the peace of Christ and Christ Himself, it's not dependent on your stability, but His. Again, the zeal of the Lord will perform this peace, not you. If your salvation, if your peace in life, if your help in life was up to you, if it was dependent on you, listen, I have no message to preach. I might as well close my book up and go home. But it's not dependent on us. This is good news. This is something to rejoice about, that praise God. The old hymn, I often go back to this, but the old hymn says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." This is the hope and the peace that Christ brings. It is His mission, His answer, His victory. This is what the Lord has done for you. So even when his disciples left him alone and scattered and went their own way, and they would eventually just fail here, in fear and in cowardice, Jesus says this, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a beautiful verse. Now there are two promises found in this verse Jesus gives us. Two promises. One, trouble. And two, peace. Contradictory? I don't think so. Jesus doesn't think so. The writers of Scripture don't think so. So he's promising us two things here. Yes, you will have trouble. That's a promise. You live in this world. The war is still going on. You will have short rests here and there. You will have moments of great victory. You will have moments of peace, but you will battle nonetheless. You will have trouble if you live in this broken and fallen world. It is in the process of being redeemed, but not fully there yet. So yes, you will have trouble. Expect it. Maybe even we can make a case, Scripture says, to welcome it. Embrace it. Know that through your suffering and your pain and your trouble in this world, it hints at something greater. It allows you to learn how to rest and depend on Jesus Christ. It guides you like a child to constantly run back to your Father to say, God, oh, I need your help again. I'm in trouble. I'm going through some problem or some trial. I just need you. So our bodies, our life are constantly crying out for final redemption. Even the creation itself is groaning for this day where the King will come back. The King will return. So here we have the promise of Jesus. I have told you these things, verse 33, so that in me, in Jesus, you will have peace. Not in this world, not in some other thing. In this world, you will have trouble, promise one. But take heart, promise two, I have overcome the world. Verse 33, I am your peace. So he is your peace to start and begin your relationship with God. He tears down the wall of division. He allows sinners to come to him. And he lavishes his love and his grace on us, even when we don't deserve it, which is every day. But not only that, he is your daily peace. This is not just poetry, it's practical. It's every day. He is your daily bread. Daily grace is promised to be provided to you, not only for your salvation, but for your blue Mondays, your hectic Thursdays, your rough days at the office, times when your family's fighting, times when it just doesn't look right, it doesn't look good. We're talking about Jesus Christ, peace with work boots on here. He walks with you. He talks with you. He guides you. This is God in flesh that has come to give himself for you. This is amazing. Another old song it reminds me of. God walks the dark hills. How many know that song? Beautiful old song. God walks the dark hills, the ways, the byways. He walks through the billows of life's troubled sea. He walks through the cold, dark night, the shadows of midnight. God walks the dark hills just to guide you and me. Jesus Christ has come. He has, in fact, walked the dark hills. He has taken the whip. He has borne the Roman cross, the nails, the suffering, the persecution. His own followers scattering and leaving him in his hour of agony. Jesus Christ has borne everything for you. And he has not only promised to do that, but to come alongside of you as a friend. Dear brother, dear sister, dear church, do you need him today as a counselor? Do you need him as a friend? Do you need him as the Prince of Peace to speak peace to some troubled waters in your life? Is there an area of your life where you just find that I just need peace and I can't seem to get it? I'm worried, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I'm troubled, I'm worried about this or worried about that. Often December is a time of worry, a time of busyness, a time of depression, if we're honest. Many people face this holiday and have grief and loss and pain that they walk through. But I'm here today to tell you that light has dawned. The peace of Christ is here, and he will be with you. Yes, you will have trouble. Yes, you will get sick. but Christ is a healer. Yes, you will be lonely, but Christ is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, this is not just poetry, but practical help. He is with you. He is with you in your suffering, in your trials. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace today. Do you know him in this way? I would ask you, I'm going to pray, and in just a moment we're going to have a particular response, and I want to first do this. I'm going to pray here just a moment, but before I do, I want to have a moment of silence to reflect on peace. And before I go into my prayer, I'll lead us in a prayer. Just spend a few moments, and I know often we do moments of silence. I think it's appropriate for a season like this and for a topic like peace, to allow the peace of Christ to just be still and be quiet and allow the peace of Christ to speak to your heart. What are you troubled with today? What are you troubled with today? If for you today, because I can't assume to know all hearts, if you are in here and the first need that you have is I need to know Christ, I need to experience this peace you're talking about, I want to invite you. This altar area up front, or come and see me after service. If you don't know Christ for yourself, I want to give an invitation for you to come to know him. You need that peace. That's your foundation. But dear Christian, if you're struggling today in an area of your life, and I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit in our time of quiet before we pray, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Is there an area of my life, of my soul, that I'm just at war with? I don't have peace. And I need peace. The Lord has promised that he will provide that for you. So we're going to spend a moment to reflect on peace, and then I'm going to offer a prayer. So let's do that. Father, we come to you as people who, though with your promise, though with your presence, we still experience trouble and hardship and sorrow and pain. And we offer our troubled hearts and souls to you today, Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And if our lives do not show this characteristic of peace that is a trademark of your people, I pray that it will. I pray that our lives will reflect this. So Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Is there an area of our lives, individually and as a church, where we're just not settled? Where we're trying to strive in our own strength? Or we're trying to fix some problem our own way? Or we're trying to do it without your assistance, without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and wash over us. Breathe upon us, O Christ. Renew us and provide peace that we need in this often busy season of life. And allow us and help us, enable us to find peace in Jesus. This is your promise, that we will have trouble, but that in Jesus, in you, we will have peace. So come what may, I pray for this particular strength, this peculiar strength, that people will look upon Florence Alliance Church and they would see a peace that passes all understanding. That even if the world is shaking and rocking and moving away because it's built on sand, your people, our lives should be built on the solid rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. So Lord, would you speak peace to the hearts of every family? Would you speak peace to my heart and our lives? We offer it to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask the worship team to come back up, and they're going to lead us in our last and closing song. And apart from this response we've already given, at the start of their song, I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, for many, many years in Christian tradition, you'll see this sometimes in churches in various ways, but I want to throw it at you today. And get ready, because I'm going to push you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Maybe people like this, some people don't. But there has been a tradition in a lot of Christian churches that there will be a time where we can pass the peace, where we can get up and greet someone next to us, go around and shake someone's hand and say hello, and with the traditional and ancient greeting, the peace of Christ be with you. The peace of Christ be with you. This was done for hundreds of years, and it's a practice that we don't do often in the church. You'll see churches do this. Hey, get around, say hello to someone, you know, for a quick moment. And I want to do that today, but with a little deeper meaning. Not to be shallow or to just throw it at you, but to say, as we are responding, this is how we're going to respond, along with our prayer of peace, is that we are going to encourage one another, say hello to one another, and it can be lively. They're going to be singing, they're going to be worshiping, and you have a moment where you're greeting one another as they begin their song, and then just come back and let's worship together as they continue. Can we do that? All right, you guys start. And my instructions are, get up and greet someone, say hello, and offer the peace of Christ to them. Amen.